We're joined by our good buddy from Sports 56, WHBQ in Memphis, and also part of the Ole Miss radio broadcast crew, Brett Stats Norsworthy. Stats, good afternoon.
Doing great, and on Sunday morning with Bill Vickery on 103.7 The Buzz.
Don't let me forget that, or Bill Vickery will be in my office tomorrow morning.
How are you guys?
We're doing great. We're doing great.
And, you know, real quick, Joe, I wanted to ask you this, too. Baylor, OU, Stanford, Oregon, or Adam Pac-Man Jones return to the wrestling ring tonight? Which one are we looking forward to?
I want to see Baylor, like we talked about earlier. I haven't seen a lot of them this year, so I want to see Baylor.
Stats, who you got?
I'm going to watch I'm gonna watch all college tonight. I'll leave the NFL for Sunday. It'll be all college for me, and I think it'll be two upsets, OU and Stanford.
Oh, really?
And chaos commences, and maybe a third one Saturday night in T-Town.
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa!
Yep.
Really?
Well, now, you got. I need some reasoning why on all three of these upsets.
Oklahoma, I think, can score with Baylor and stop them enough. Stanford, I know, can be physical and possess the ball and play keep away, very similar to how they did it last year at Oregon. And for LSU, Matt, you know, there's just some teams that are bugaboo teams. Don't ask me why, but Ole Miss is that team to LSU, and LSU is definitely that team to Alabama. They just have a good book on them. The building feels good about them, and they're not scared at
they're
all.
They're not scared.
Running out on Bryant Denny Stadium.
I think
field.
You nailed it right there. There are sometimes teams are a little overwhelmed. The one thing I do, I've seen Stanford play a couple games this year. This is not the same Stanford team. I think they're ranked too high right now. Mariota is a year, you know, this is his third year in this system. I know he redshirted, but Stanford had trouble with Utah, and Utah tries to do what Oregon does as far as spread you out. They looked a step slow, I mean, the entire game against Utah. I think Oregon beat Stanford going away.
Wow.
Well, it might be close early, but Oregon's going to win by two or three touchdowns.
And a great point you make about that Utah team, and when people are still so all over Stanford, remember they lost to a 4-4 team.
Right. Well, but Brett, it should be great. I mean, that's what I'm doing tonight,
is
watching
great,
football. Yeah.
It should be a great night of college football.
Well, me too. I'm going to get in front of it and watch it from 6 until midnight.
Is this Mariota's? Before Trey asks you, Joe and I do our Heisman candidates each week, and we've kind of said you don't get to see these West Coast teams play as much. You know, people go to sleep, but does Mariota need a game where maybe it's a last-second type of win, or does he need a Jameis Winston game where they win 49-21? What do you think would help his Heisman chances?
I think he needs a thriller. I think he needs that signature moment, that Heisman moment. And if he doesn't get it, and Oregon indeed loses tonight, and Petty comes up short for Baylor, then Saturday night in Tuscaloosa, how about this? How about this stat line when the game's over? 4 touchdowns, 27 of 38, 334 yards. Will A.J. McCarron be in the Heisman picture?
I think he should be.
How does he not?
But he's
how does he not, Trey?
Yeah. They call him the, quote, game manager. I think he should be. But Johnny Manziel, I think Jameis Winston, if let's say Baylor loses and Oregon loses, I think Jameis Winston's going to be up there because he has had those signature moments.
I'm fine with that, too, Stats. But I think
back-to-back freshman.
Yes. Well, yeah, I agree. And I wouldn't be surprised if Jameis Winston did win the Heisman this year. But you bring up a good point with the stats of A.J. McCarron. And let's say Alabama does win out. Let's say they make it to the Georgia Dome in the SEC Championship game. They play a team in Missouri that they just destroy in that game, and A.J. McCarron does have a good game. Let's say Florida State falls in their championship game. A.J. McCarron's my pick for the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, and it's a lot of ifs in there, but we're talking scenarios to get him there, and he for sure should be invited, if for no other reason, just meritorious service. I mean, it's the great stat that Tim Brando first latched onto. He's got as many crystal balls as he has losses.
Yeah.
Is it because he doesn't translate to the NFL game? Is that why? You know,
I don't know, Matt. You know, I think that's selling him a little short. You know, he's not a franchise guy. He's not a fix-it-overnight guy. But I tell you what he might be, third, fourth-round draft pick for the Dallas Cowboys. go in and watch 3 or 4 years behind Romo, and then they give him the keys.
He reminds me, like, his talent level of, like, a Matt Barkley. I don't see him being a first-round guy, and I agree with you right there. What you just said is it would take him 2 or 3 years, maybe a Case Keenum. It took Case Keenum a couple years, and you see he's kind of getting a chance for the Texans now, what he's doing.
And it might not be with the team that drafts him that he eventually helps, but I think there's got to be somewhere for that locker room component, especially with what we've seen this year or this week with that onion peel back with the locker room mentality.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Of some places. Matt, you know how important that chemistry is, and I think you can always increase your locker room character and have more winners around.
I couldn't agree with you more right there, yeah.
Stats, let's look at this Ole Miss football team this year that Arkansas is going to be facing on Saturday, 11-21, inside Vaught-Hemingway Stadium there in Oxford. Hugh Freeze said he would make a decision today on the status of running back Jeff Scott and cornerback Charles Sawyer. Neither of them practiced on Wednesday. Do you have any updates on those two?
No official updates, but I'll be very surprised if Jeff Scott's able to go. And they can afford to go without him because how well Jaylen Walton has played. He's had 5 touchdowns, and he's been a better, more effective inside runner. He's not very big, just like Jeff Scott, but he's been better inside than Jeff Scott was early in the year. You know, you got to have a real appetite to run it inside in the SEC. It gets very physical, and neither Jeff Scott or Jaylen Walton are very big. Jaylen seems to hit the hole a little bit harder because there aren't very big holes in this league. So whatever you have, you got to hit it pretty quickly, and Jaylen has. I think Jeff Scott needs another week, and then we'll kind of get next week with Troy and then have the push against Missouri and Mississippi State.
Hugh Freeze said that Scott's injury was originally identified as a thigh bruise, but it's actually a bone spur on a nerve. Matt, how have you ever had a bone spur? You've had
a heel bruise where after one of my games I couldn't walk for a couple of days, didn't play the next week, and then ever since, if I'm going to do something active, I had to get part of my shoe cut out and then a lift where I couldn't put any pressure on it. So if you have something like that, it's almost impossible to play with that pressure on the it's Trey, when it's every step. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's here and there and goes away a little bit, okay. But when it's every step, it's almost impossible to play.
Yeah, I don't think I want to be going through that, Stats.
Stay on the golf course, Trey.
Believe me, I will.
the only thing you can get hurt on that golf course, Matt and Joe, is your feelings.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Robert Kimdichie, has he lived up to the hype?
Mostly, Trey. The hype was so big, it was almost impossible for him to. He does not have any sacks. The surprising thing is they eventually had to move him inside because he just got so darn big. He couldn't be that big off-the-edge guy I think everybody thought he would be. He's been really, really good. And at times, I've had to remind myself that he is just a freshman. And then he got hurt. He just shredded a hamstring trying to run down Johnny Manziel, as Johnny Manziel has done to a lot of people. So Saturday will be his first action back. I don't know if he can go the whole game, but it's good to have him back. I think they're going to see how he can go, and then if he can't, you know, effectively, a easier game next week against Troy, a game Ole Miss should win with or without Robert Kimdichie. But see how he can go Saturday. He's been good. It just hadn't been eye-popping. I think everybody expected him almost to be like the clown he hit and do that every play. And the bar was just so high, it was almost impossible for him to get over. But he's been real good, and he was great in summertime workouts. All immediately a team leader. And Denzel, his brother, is the very same way.
And we've seen that, obviously, Jadeveon Clowney can't do the hit every game either.
No, I mean, you just can't. And, you know, Jadeveon Clowney, he's got a little of the blame for sure this year, but there was no way for him to live up to that B-roll that ran, what's the over and under on it, 10,000 and 12?
Yeah, I'd say over.
I mean, that poor kid from Michigan, every time he turns his TV on, he sees his helmet get knocked off.
Yeah, I mean, not just in his sleep does he see it happening.
And that brings up another point. And you see, I think it's really hurt the college basketball game, this one-and-done rule. But some people have come out and said Jadeveon should not have had to stay. The NFL, you know, you got to be 3 years removed from high school. And I agree with that because that's men up there playing.
Ooh,
but
yeah.
There are certain players. Jadeveon Clowney probably would have been the first defensive player taken in last year's draft. Do you see that rule ever changing where it could happen, or do you think they'll stay three years?
They'll stay, Matt, because the NFL is working in concert with college. I'm not trying to be a name dropper here, but Gil Brandt told me one time he saw two ever that he thought was ready to go straight from high school into college, and that was Earl Campbell
and Herschel Walker. Yeah.
So that's two that he says ever. There may have been a few more, but I can't think of many more.
And also, what about 2 years maybe instead of the 3 years removed? Could you see them changing it to where you play 2 years of college ball?
Yeah, I hope not. And I hope they don't. I wish college basketball
I'm with you.
Would change it, and we would have some name, a brand identity with some of these players. I mean, we just barely fall in love with them before they're already gone. You know, and a guy like Kevin Durant, 1 year at Texas, zero NCAA tournament wins. He only played in one game. They lost his one and only NCAA tournament game.
I'm right there with you, Stats. I mean, I love the college basketball game, but
the product is horrible.
Yeah, the product is bad right now. They're trying to do everything they can with the new rule changes to try and create offense. But I think if you had more chemistry on the team with players that have been there for a while, you would see more offense.
Right.
You would see more scoring.
Better skill development.
And you could sell more tickets around a name brand player, around a guy that you know is going to be around. And look, in SEC, except for at Kentucky, there's no mistaking it. We've got a ticket-selling problem.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. You're totally right.
The football behemoth has taken over. I mean, we're just limping into college basketball. And I don't like saying any of this. I love college basketball, but I can tell you what is really highlighted to me is when I go two times a week and I see the best in the world do it in the NBA coming through town playing against the Grizzlies, and then I go out to a 52-47 college basketball game that you're 6 of 19 from the field, that's not very entertaining.
Do you think it's because of the lack of fundamentals, Stats?
Well, we say
maturity,
that.
Maturity, I think, and as well.
Yeah, and that's right, Matt. And we think that, but, you know, it's just too many guys that just can't make a 15-foot jump shot. Don't want to shoot it. They want to shoot a three or they want to dunk.
That doesn't get you on SportsCenter.
No, huh?
No,
you got to go coast to coast like Matt Jones used to do in dunkleball.
Well, what's awesome is watching that USA versus the world, and when you watch these European players play, how just far advanced in the skill set. What you're talking about is how they can dribble the ball. Now,
having said a screen,
America,
Matt,
USA might have better athletes and better upside, but yeah, hitting that mid-range jumper, passing the ball, just the concept and knowledge of basketball, they are light years ahead of what USA is.
Right, and when they see a player that's very right or left-handed, they know to shade him that way. They know the game. They know the intricacies of the game seemingly so much better.
Stats, this Arkansas football team, you saw them last weekend on TV.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think they match up with the Rebels this year?
I think if Arkansas will, and Brett Bielema probably doesn't need any encouragement to do this, I would commit to running the ball. Arkansas averages 5.2 per rush. Ole Miss gives up almost that. They give up 4.8. I would pound the rock. The only time it would go in the air is when I got in a second and one or two, and I could catch Hunter Henry running down that hash mark. I would never ask Brandon Allen for the seven-step swing for the fences of passes because the protection hadn't been there that well, and his receivers aren't that good. I see a running team. Look for Ole Miss. If Alex Collins goes over the 1,000-yard mark for the season, he needs 111 Saturday. I think Arkansas can keep it real close. As soon as I heard that point spread and was on the air Sunday with Bill Vickery when we were talking about it, 17, now 16, whatever it is, seems a little heavy for me. This game, the last 6 years, is 132-131 Arkansas, with Ole Miss winning four game three of the two games, the last 5 years, rather. It's 132 to 131. It's been a really close game historically. You know, Matt played in the craziest one ever. But then the game 2 years later, after the seven overtimes in Oxford, you know, Ole Miss caught Arkansas and caught you guys, Matt, at a perfect time after those two heartbreaking home losses.
Right.
When you were the better team both weeks against Auburn and Florida.
That was the best Arkansas team. I was telling Trey this the other day, that my sophomore year, we had a good team and went to the SEC championship game. But that next year,
you were better.
We were a lot better team, but just had some bad luck.
Had some bad luck. Those two got away from you at home, 10-3 to Auburn, mm-hmm. and a little higher scoring against Florida. And then Eli Manning and company caught Arkansas at the end of that three-game stretch and caught them in good shape. It's a great rivalry. It was a rivalry at one time. I know it's a long time ago, but at one time it was bigger to Razorback fans than Texas was. I know that's a long, long, long time ago. And at one time to Ole Miss fans, it was bigger than LSU or Mississippi State. That's a bygone era for it being that big a game, but still, it's still a fun game. And, you know, usually one's kind of having a little better year than the other one. You really, both teams aren't hardly ever up at the same time, and it kind of seems like that's the case this year. But Arkansas can wreck Ole Miss's year like Ole Miss wrecked Arkansas's last year.
It's kind of like stats back when they used to play in the Capitals, Little Rock and Jackson.
Right. It was a great rivalry. Man, I can tell you, when the rivalry resumed in 1981 in Jackson, after not being a regular season game for almost 20 years and having not met at all since the Sugar Bowl in 69, after the 69 season, I've never been around a better atmosphere in my life than what Jackson was like that night. About as hard a ticket as you'll ever see. And Danny Walters pick and score late in the game to seal it for the Razorbacks. Great atmosphere, and I expected a really close, hard-fought game. And Razorback fans just need to be patient. I mean, just playing all these young guys with all these injuries against this schedule.
Yeah, it is a difficult schedule, and that's something that we've been trying to say is you have to be patient. I mean, look at what Coach Bielema and this staff was left with. The cupboard was bare.
And it hurts us that some of the Razorback fans wanted Gus. He goes to Auburn, and I think they're overrated as well. Not that Gus isn't a good coach, but the success he's having, and people see that, they want that as well.
Well, we know everything now. Everybody, every fan core knows everything about the others because talk shows, message boards, Twitter, all the things that are listed, everybody knows. And it's why I say every weekend is win or die.
Yes.
Well, you got to hear it from your buddies when you don't win. So it feels like a little bit of you is dying. And, you know, I don't mean that literally, but it's how important it is. And, yeah, we have to see Gus. And he went into a pretty ready-made team. And I think Auburn's offensive line is that good. The rest of it, I don't think Auburn is that good, but their O-line's really good.
Well, and Trey brought up this stat a couple months ago that – FCC coaches don't stay at a program more than 3 or 4 years, and that's what you're saying. It's win or die every week. You have two bad years, they get rid of you.
Oh, two can wreck you, Matt. I mean, two can really make people start asking crazy questions. That's why people just have to be really patient. Ole Miss is proof of it. You can't fire coaches every three and four years and ever build anything. You got to get with something and stay with it.
You think Florida has Muschamp on the hot seat?
That he should be, but because they're the exception to it, because it's Florida Gators.
You're right.
If they lose Saturday to Vandy, I think there will be questions, because Jeremy Foley just can't sit by and watch this coaching carousel marketplace with potentially Texas. We know
USC.
For sure USC, mm-hmm. maybe Nebraska. He can't sit by and watch this marketplace move past him.
What are your now handicap it for us? Sumlin to USC, Saban to Texas. Which one has a better chance? Because I think they could both happen.
Saban to Texas is 0%.
0%.
Zero. And, I mean, I wouldn't even go to 0.5%. 0% Saban goes to Texas. I think Steve Sarkisian will get one of these big open jobs.
Now, he's Oregon State's coach
now,
right
Jimmy
now.
Washington. Jimmy Sexton is in Memphis. Have you been talking to him?
We visit quite a bit, yeah.
Well, then how did that AP article come out saying that the one place he would leave for is Texas?
Well, that article came out from good investigative journalism by the AP, and also a leak from the Hicks brothers. They made sure that got out, and Jimmy didn't go out trying to find that, and he didn't want it, but it's his job always to be trying to find more for his clients.
Oh, yeah, and I think you're right. Saban's not going anywhere. Stats, give us a prediction on the game.
I think it'll be real close. The more experienced quarterback, the second-year in SEC coach versus the first-year in SEC coach, and at home, I think Ole Miss wins 34-27.
Stats, we'll see you on Saturday
in Oxford.
Man, I can't wait to see you guys. Thank you for having me.